Pastor Mai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update from Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, sea watch and travel updates, and the newsmakers in person, including tonight, another steam packet survey. What are we going to do with brownfield sites? A bizarre 18 minutes in a Tyndall Select Committee. Road racing back to Derby and news from the UK general election.
And Benham Advocates for your legal needs.
But first at 29 minutes to 6, the news headlines on Update. Faster Mai, Dolan Mercer.
Faster Mai. Government is looking at the social and environmental benefits of developing unused urban areas. A new political body could soon be created by the Department for Enterprise to investigate how to tackle the issue of brownfield sites on the island. The Steam Packet wants to know your thoughts about onboard services as it prepares for a new ship. There's a link to the survey run by Island Global Research on the Manx Radio website. A sales manager at Athol Garage claims the Isle of Man could have been the leader in the use of electric vehicles if it acted sooner. Andrew Wilson believes the island's a perfect testing ground for electric vehicles, but says we're now playing catch-up. And the Millennium Bridge in Douglas will close again this evening to allow repairs to continue. The closure won't come into place tonight until 10 p.m, though, to avoid a clash with late-night Christmas shopping, reopening no later than 6 o'clock in the morning. Further afield, the man in charge of police operations during the Hillsborough disaster has been cleared of gross negligence manslaughter. David Duckenfield had been on trial over the deaths of 95 Liverpool fans who lost their lives in 1989. The family of TV chef Gary Rhodes say he died from a bleeding on the brain. The 59-year-old passed away on Tuesday during a break in filming a new series. An economic think tank has criticised spending pledges in the manifestos from both Labour and the Conservatives. The Institute for Fiscal Studies says neither have presented credible plans. Those are the headlines. More at 6. Mish Dolan Mercer, Manx Radio News.
Man Benham Advocates. Like everything comforting, we're there when you need us.
This is Update on Manx Radio. I'm Andy Wint, and the Steam Packet wants to know your thoughts as it prepares for major investment in the fleet. It was way back in 1999 that the King Orry disappeared and the Ben McCree arrived, and it's going to be 2024 when the Ben McCree is set to go, and the Steam Packet wants to know your thoughts. They've got a survey, it's online, but Tim Glover from Manx Radio, our news editor's with me, kind of almost a mirror image of a government survey that happened, was it last year?
It does ask you, do you want to have a cinema on board? It's asking, do you want quiet areas? It's asking for, do you want a separate seated area away from everywhere else where you can enjoy your meals? So it does go into a little bit more detail than the government survey did, and I'm sure they're obviously putting it out there to try and frame what sort of new design they go for with the ship. The key ones from the last survey, if I just go back to it, were free better Wi-Fi, they want pet accommodation as well, and food, better standard of food, and lower prices for food. So it's the sort of stuff you'd expect, isn't it, from the last one?
Well, I remember when the Ben arrived, she ran into a firestorm of criticism, because obviously people had remembered Silver Service on the Steam Packet at one time. Everything was very different. She was very much a Ropax, a kind of roll-on, roll-off with a passenger lounge at the top. And there was a shriek of horror. Mm-hmm. And of course, over the years, they've put stuff on. They've added lounges. They've got better food on board as well, but it just seems that really in 2024 they're going to have to do something a lot better, really.
Yeah, I think these days, if you look at, I don't know whether you've gone across on the English Channel or other ferries, there's a lot more facilities on board those vessels than we currently have.
The Irish Sea ones as well to Ireland, and they're luxurious.
And that is the thrust, I think, of this. What's important to a passenger? And also, it's asking about the destinations as well. And again, we can go into some detail by going back to 2018. There was a demand for faster craft still. There was a demand for Liverpool over Heysham more. There wasn't such a big demand for the Irish services, but we know that at Christmas time and TT time, for example, there are people looking to get to the Isle of Man and vice versa.
And there's a big difference this time. Tim, this is now owned by the Manx people. The steam packet is no longer a private company. It's owned by the people.
It is indeed. So you'd have thought that the company will want to listen to what the people want from the new vessel.
Well, we await. We've asked the steam packet for some comment, and as soon as they get in touch with us, you'll hear about it.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
24 minutes to 6 on update now.
Manx Radio weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
From Ronald's Way Met Office, the weather word is strong wind warning out in the North Irish Sea, diminishing as the night goes on. And that clear weather is with us, clear and cold through the night. A risk of frost and ice through the night into tomorrow as the northeasterly winds decrease. Overnight minimum 2 degrees near freezing point in sheltered areas. You got your de-icer sorted out. For Friday, Johannia, we're looking at dry with sunny intervals, light breezes and 6 degrees tomorrow. Friday into Saturday, down to 2 degrees again. For Saturday, Jasan, cold and frosty start to the day, then lovely, dry and sunny, and 6 degrees top temperature. The sun set earlier this evening at 4:03, rises in the morning at 8:10. Low water in a little over an hour at 7:18. High water is at 1:22 a.m. And Friday morning's low water is at 7:04.
For bespoke tabletop glass cut to measure, visit Manx Glass and Glazing in the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Well, it's all happening as far as brownfield sites are concerned. A new government body could soon be created to investigate how to tackle the issue of brownfield sites in Manx towns. It's proposed that an urban development agency could be formed by the Department of Enterprise to identify sites in need of attention. This includes how to fund potential redevelopment of brownfield sites in the island's urban environment. Minister for Enterprise Lawrence Skelly told Manx Radio's Tim Glover all about it.
It's sort of a recognition that you look around the island. We can look here in Douglas in the capital, but elsewhere on the island we do have undeveloped urban sites, and there is clear desire, political and public, you know, to see those being developed for what we would regard in economic terms of benefit, but I think the social and environmental benefits as well.
So, well, just to come and see you today from Manx Radio, a short journey down the road, I've gone past two massive sites that have been empty for ages, years and years.
They have, and some of them are government owned, some of them are not government owned. So the development agency is really about how do you expedite the development for economic, social, environmental purposes, effectively, the benefit for the Isle of Man.
It had a number of examples of similar structures in other jurisdictions. Dublin was one, Jersey was another. They all had their faults, but yeah. Key across all of it was you can have the agency, but unless you've got the financial clout there as well, you're going to be building on sand.
They've got to have a certain amount of autonomy, therefore a sort of arm's length from government. So if it's to truly work, it's got to be autonomous, and that was one of the key things. The next thing is you picked up on, Tim, very rightly there, is about the funding model. How do you actually fund us? It's got to be a flexible model that this agency has the ability to adapt. And then, of course, you need a multi-agency approach from a government point of view, where Department for Enterprise interested in economic benefit. Then you've also got DEFA from planning, Department of Infrastructure, who manage estates for government, and, you know, possibly the Cabinet Office, and, you know, for central master plans.
All of which could lead to delay.
It's all so easy, and that's why this development agency is its number one intention is, I believe, to be autonomous, so it can be can develop sites expeditiously.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
20 to 6 live from the Isle of Man. This is update on Manx Radio.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Everything's fine outbound from Heysham this afternoon. The Ben McCree left at 3:02. Arriving in Douglas, about now actually. Heading out at 7:45 this evening, heading for Heysham, arriving there. Estimated time of arrival is at 11:30, of course. For the moment, we have just the Ben McCree. The steam packet's fast craft, Madonna, will resume her seasonal services into Liverpool on March 27th next year. The first sailing of the year to Dublin, scheduled for March 28th. And for Belfast is April the 8th.
Book now for 2020 at steam-packet.com.
Plans are in place to see the Jerby Road Races return for the first time in a decade. Members of the newly elected committee at the Andrus Racing Association have revealed they're working hard to reintroduce Jerby Road Races. Next year marks the club's 50th anniversary since its first meeting in April 1970. Chairman Neil Chapman says the ARA hasn't had the best of times in recent years, and he's determined to steer it in the right direction.
I'm not going to dwell on the history, but there was a little bit of a divergence, I think, between the rank and file members, who are essentially bike racers, and the people who are running the organisation. And now we've got a completely new committee, and we've reconnected with the members. And since that point, we've had a huge amount of positive feedback. So people who were really not turning out, or you know, reluctantly turning out, or just doing a couple of meetings, proof of the pudding and all that, will be people turning up. But so far, we've had nothing but positive feedback. So we're quite confident that at the start of next year, we're going to get decent-sized grids, lots of people there. And then the onus is on us to make the meeting run slickly and to everybody's benefit, so that people keep turning out and we put on a show and then people keep coming to see the show.
And tell us some of the events planned, some of the key dates for our diary.
Running at the airfield, our first meeting is... So these dates are not absolutely nailed in stone yet, but I'm moderately confident in them, so I'm happy to give them out. Our first meeting is likely to be Sunday, April the 5th. It's on the airfield. We're then having a two-day meeting, Saturday and Sunday, on May the 2nd and 3rd. The last sort of proper race day, if you like, is going to be Sunday, September the 20th. But there is more to be said than that. And lots of your listeners will have heard talk about the reintroduction of the Jerby Road Races. There are a million things for us to sort out before we can confirm that Jerby Road is going to be back on the calendar. But those, you know, we've got a list of a million things and we're working down them. We have to obviously engage with the Manx government and get them on side, and that, mm-hmm. that process has already started.
Yep.
The ACU are a key player in that. They have to... re-accredit the circuit and look at our safety plan, and it was last run in 2010. Safety culture has moved on a lot since then anyway, so we can't just go back to the way it was. We have to basically do it in the new style. But we're engaged with all those people. We've got massive interest from race teams, riders and spectators.
Manx Radio's business briefing, powered by Y Manx.
17 minutes to 6 on update. Bon Marché, the UK women's wear retailer that fell into administration in October, may soon be rescued by the owner of Tynwald Mills. Edinburgh Woolen Mills, through the rival business Peacocks, which has been named as the preferred bidder for the business, although further negotiations are needed before the deal is secured. 30 Bon Marché stalls will be closed by the 11th of December, the administrator said, putting 240 jobs at risk. Peacocks themselves entered administration in January 2012 and were bought by the Edinburgh Woolen Mill Group, which also owns Jane Norman, the Taylor Austin Reed, Country Casuals and Pondon Homeware. Edinburgh Woolen Mills is wholly owned by the billionaire Philip Day, who's also the main backer of Carlisle United FC. And talking of football, Manchester City's parent company, the City Football Group, has agreed a deal to buy a majority stake in the Indian Super League side Mumbai City FC. CFG is buying 65% of Mumbai City, meaning the group will now hold a stake in 8 football clubs. On the markets, well, here's what's happening.
WiMAX Technology Communications Services. Find out more on 641199 or visit WiMAX.com today.
At 16 minutes to 6.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
At the close of the FTSE 100 was down a fifth of a percent at 7,416. In Europe, the DAX in Frankfurt was down a third of a percent at 13,245, spot 5.8. In New York a short time ago, the Dow Jones, of course, is closed for Thanksgiving, but it was up at 28,164 the day before. The NASDAQ in New York was 8,705, and the S&P 500 in Chicago, 3,153, spot 6.3. On the currency markets, the pound is worth $1.20. 29.09 cents and €1 17.27 cents. And as far as commodities concerned, a barrel of Brent crude will set you back $63.51, and the PM fix for gold is $1,454.35 per ounce.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsey Crookall. Ramsey Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers, and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsey Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramseycrookall.com. Ramsey Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom. MT ClearSound. Personalise how you hear your mobile phone conversations.
This is fairly bizarre. A Tynwald committee lasted just 18 minutes today after the clerk explained the panel can't look at the things where you could sue or undertake a complaints process because there's an alternative to the petition for redress. Stay with me. Mr. and Mrs. Salmon presented a petition on Tynwald Day calling for a select committee to be established to examine the code of conduct for public servants. Here are some extracts from a concise oral evidence section.
Because your petition is about how the code of conduct issued by the Isle of Man government for public servants isn't fit for purpose, you might explain why you think it's not fit for purpose.
It's not, because when you go and ask a question of somebody in any position, they've never gone out of the way to help, to say there's a concern over why that's... They just put barriers in the way, and it seems to be everywhere I've gone. One minute the advice is right for somebody, and next minute it's wrong for me. There's the law, there's rules that they have to follow, and they change as and when they suit.
Is the code fit for purpose, or is it that it's... If I was to say, yes, it is fit for purpose, but is it being adhered to?
You just took the words out of my mouth. The code is fit for purpose, it's not being adhered to.
In which case I would say to you, that's probably a case for you to present that to the Ombudsman and get them to take that up with you. If you believe the code isn't being followed, then that would be up for the Ombudsman now to take that up on your behalf.
Not just the Ombudsman, is it? There's other, but...
That's, the Ombudsman, that's right. There are many avenues of complaint.
In my submissions, not just the Ombudsman mentioned there, but that is one. I've had a letter from Lloyd yesterday telling me that they're not going to reply to many more of my letters, because it's now in the hands of an independent arbitrator.
Sorry, that's from Lloyd's Bank, did you say?
From Lloyd's Bank.
That's not really something that this committee can look at, because this is about public
service. From a civil servant point of view, I haven't been told. So why have Lloyd's been told before I have?
Petitions for redress of grievance at Tynwald are only able to be looked at if they relate to matters of policy rather than individual complaints. If there's already an alternative complaint process, then the petition wouldn't be in order. So this committee really ought not to look at, or can't look at, things where you could sue or you could undertake a complaints process, as you're actually undertaking now, because that's an alternative to the petition for redress, you see.
Mm-hmm. Next door to me, they haven't paid the rates for 6 years, 7 years. They've affected my life. And I've gone to places and I've said, why is the rates not being paid? I paid mine.
But as far as the rates was concerned, Douglas took that to court, but didn't follow it up because he didn't collect on it.
For 6 years.
So again...
He took it to court after the 6 year. You follow up.
But again,
follow me up after 1 year.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, the procedures are in place, but they've not been followed up. So
again, not followed up.
Yeah, that's again something you need to follow up with Douglas Corporation, why they didn't do that.
Like I said, I've got a shop to run and a business to run, and that should just be said. And I got a letter back from the corporation telling me 99.7% of rates are collected. Why does the 0.3 live next door to me? Sorry?
I'm not saying it excuses it.
No, but why does the 0.3% live next door to me then? I don't like writing letters, but I've got a trail of them.
Okay. Okay. If that's all you got to say this afternoon...
That's pretty much all, yeah. Everything's there. I just... Let you go and have a look at it and see what you think.
And you can listen to the hearing in full, all 18 minutes of it, on the Listen Again function of the Tynwald website. That's tynwald.org.im. Have a listen.
Manx Radio Sport.
with Tim Glover.
Master Mike, good evening. Next year could see the first Derby road races in a decade. The new chairman of the Andreas Racing Association has revealed plans are in place for the event to return to the Manx motorsport calendar. 2020 also marks the club's 50th anniversary, but Neil Champion says it's too early to confirm for sure if the road race will be brought back.
There are a million things for us to sort out before we can confirm that Derby Road is going to be back on the calendar. But those, you know, we've got a list of a million things and we're working down them. We have to obviously engage with the Manx government and get them on side, and that, mm-hmm. that process has already started.
Yep.
The ACU are a key player in that. They have to re-accredit the circuit and look at our safety plan.
Further afield, West Ham manager Manuel Pellegrini says his side need to get back to the form they showed at the start of the season. He's under pressure after a run of 7 Premier League games without a win. Arsenal and Wolves can progress to the knockout stages of the Europa League later. They take on Eintracht Frankfurt and Sporting Braga respectively. Rangers could also go through with a win against Feyenoord. Celtic are guaranteed a place in the last 32 and they face French side Rennes tonight. England have a selection dilemma ahead of the start of the second cricket test against New Zealand tonight. Wicketkeeper Jos Buttler is a doubt with a back problem, meaning all-rounder Chris Wokes or uncapped batsman Zach Crawley could take his place. Joe Root's side need to win to draw the series. And Saracens have named England trio Owen Farrell, Maro Itoje and Billy Vunipola in their team to face Bath in Rugby Union's Premiership tomorrow. It'll be the first time they've played since losing in the World Cup final in Japan. Saracens are bottom of the table after their 35-point deduction for breaching the salary cap. That's your sport this evening.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
8 minutes to six, they look the same from the back. That was Chris Cave, of course, with Manx Radio Sport. The Millennium Bridge is receiving attention tonight. They're mending the machinery. So look out from 8 o'clock tonight. South Quay and Douglas, Drotfell Road in Port Erin. Temporary 24-hour two-way traffic signals in operation to enable gas main repairs. Ren Cullen still got those culvert repairs. Temporary 24-hour two-way traffic signals. It's three-way traffic signals. King Edward Road, Onken to Groudle. Groudle to Onken in operation. They're doing work on the railway there. Glen Road in Laxey. Temporary closure from Churchill Rensall Hill, of course. And Laxey is open. Still those problems between Ardrea to Menorca crossroads as well. The Curragh Road, St John's, closed for roadworks between Ballycrane traffic lights and the Western Amenity side. All the information is at manxradio.com for trains, planes, boats, buses, roadworks and the ongoing saga of Douglas Magical Mystery Tour Promenade. And the community tap's got links to 18 webcams across the island. Everything's in and outbound okay at Ronald's Way Airport. The London City, the BA 10 past 5 to London City, left 10 minutes late. No problems reported on the flight to 25 to 6 to Dublin and later departures for Manchester, Liverpool and Gatwick.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions, 670-145.
Spending plans have been at the spotlight today when it comes to the UK general election campaign. Concerns have been raised over whether the main party's manifesto pledges add up. Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party are promising radical change, while the Tories offer what's been described as a steady-as-she-goes blueprint for the United Kingdom. Chris Cave looks back on today's key moments from the campaign trail.
Economic researchers have been criticising the UK's major parties today as the December general election campaign enters into its final 2 weeks. The Institute for Fiscal Studies has concluded the spending proposals put forward by both Labour and the Conservatives are not properly credible. Paul Johnson claims the Tories would likely end up spending more than their manifesto pledges, while saying Labour would be unable to deliver the increases it's promising.
Under the Conservatives, essentially across the piece, once you've got the spending round increases in schools and health through the door, it's steady as she goes, really not much change, Brexit apart. If you look at the Labour manifesto, it is clearly a blueprint for a long-term fundamental change in the role, size, scale and scope of the state in the UK. Very different to anything we've experienced in the UK, certainly since the 1970s. There is no other country which spends as much as Labour is suggesting and does not have high levels of tax on people on ordinary sorts of earnings.
It comes after Jeremy Corbyn has promised to renationalise rail, mail, energy and water and give a 5% pay rise to public sector workers if Labour wins a majority. And as Boris Johnson's Conservatives have pledged to postpone a cut in corporation tax and pump more money into public services, Sajid Javid says he welcomes the scrutiny of his party's plans.
I think if anyone cares to take a look, they will see that alongside our manifesto, we have published the most detailed costings document any party has published in any general election, and we've set out exactly where the new costs will be and exactly how we're going to fund them.
His opposite number, John McDonnell, believes people are wrongly criticising Labour for being too ambitious.
I take that with pride. We are ambitious. We are going to invest in our country. We are going to tackle climate change, and we are going to lift people out of poverty. So I believe our manifesto is demonstrating, the IFS confirms this, that actually we have the best plans for schools, for health and for tackling the environment.
The Lib Dems weren't spared by the IFS either, though, who were told their plans were radical for most periods, with big spending and tax increases. However, they are dwarfed by Labour's plans. Jo Swinson's party claims stopping Brexit would deliver an extra £10 billion a year to the economy. Campaigning continues ahead of the vote on the 12th of December.
That's it for Update tonight. Remember, for all the information for the most comprehensive source of current Manx news, interviews and features, and the largest store of Manx radio videos, plus MTTV, Culture Vannin and Manx National Heritage, go to manxradio.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. If you haven't got the Manx Radio app, get it today absolutely free. That's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Dolan Mercer and producer Sarah Hendy, I'm Andy Wynn. Back at the same time tomorrow night. Have a great Thursday.